You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the world, all over the Great Lakes State, wildmichiganradio.com. And thanks to all of our affiliates on the Michigan Talk Network, being able to bring this show to you in our 15th year. Unbelievable. Way back when we were talking about Proposal 3 and the dove bill, and now we're talking about a different kind of bird, talking about pheasants, upland game bird hunting in Michigan, which used to be in the 50s and 60s a huge deal in the state. Pheasants very plentiful. Now habitat has changed. Buildings have taken places where once were open fields. You have subdivisions and things. That's just progress. That's just things that are going to happen. But new bill, House Bill 4313, that's been signed into law by our governor here in Michigan, will now say that we need a $25 tax stamp to hunt pheasant in Michigan. That's just one of the things in the group of things that she has just signed in late 2020, which initially to me was a bit of a shock. You know, we have a, you know, we have this cool pheasant restoration project that our good friend Al Stewart has been so tirelessly working on. We've been doing a lot for habitat as much as we can, but we've had issues in the past, and our good friend Bill Parker, editor of the Michigan Outdoor News, joins us right now. And Bill, you know, initially, when I saw this bill, it said that we're going to need a $25 stamp to hunt pheasants in Michigan. Much like a waterfowl stamp, we'll have to buy the stamp, affix it. This is not a license. I mean, a license to hunt pheasant, yes. We'll have to sign our name across it, but collectors will not have to sign their name across the stamp for the sole purpose of collecting, which is cool that we have that, you know, specified in there. But I look at that additional $25 going, really? I mean, are people really going to spend that extra money to hunt pheasant? Here, change my mind.
How you doing, Duran? Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Yeah. So let's start out with this one. Let me be devil's advocate for a minute going, wow, this could really possibly hurt things, and you say otherwise.
Well, you know, there are those concerns, definitely, and people are worried, especially, you know, the hunters that have been hunting pheasants on state land, you know, anyways. They feel like they're getting, you know, shot in the foot, if you will. But, you know, it's tough hunting right now for pheasants. There are some areas of the state that hold pheasants, but to be honest with you, most of the pheasants killed in Michigan are killed on private land, and if you don't have access to those private land areas, you have to go to, you know, places like Verona and Rose Lake. And the habitat program that you mentioned, the Michigan Habitat Restoration Initiative, has been phenomenal. And the cool thing about that is that they're looking at this habitat program in a landscape-wide scheme as opposed to just 80 acres here or 120 acres over there. So they're trying to create, you know, nesting habitat, winter cover, food, create everything that the pheasants need on a landscape area as opposed to a 100-acre area that makes it really difficult to, you know, complete all of that stuff in. So that's a very good program, and down the line, I'm sure it's going to pay dividends. However, right now, what they're trying to do is this is more of a, like, the 3R that they talk about, or R3, the recruitment, retention, and reactivation. And that's what they're trying to achieve with this, is to get some birds on the landscape where people have access to them and give them an opportunity to go out and get them. So what this $25 stamp does is 100% of that money is earmarked specifically for releasing birds on suitable public land in the Lower Peninsula for people to go out and hunt. The Upper Peninsula decided to opt out of it. And the initial bill was for private and public land hunters to buy this stamp, but the Senate got a whole lot of pushback from private landowners who have birds on their property and aren't going to benefit from any of these released birds because they're not going to be released on their farms or in their areas. And they're thinking, well, what the heck? You know, I'm spending all this money on habitat. Now I have to buy a stamp, too, so other people can go out hunting. So they opted to do this only on private, or only on public land, rather, and eliminated the private land hunters. You don't have to buy a stamp if you're hunting private land, only if you're hunting pheasants on public land. And the initial bill also had that money split. 75% of it was going to go towards purchasing birds, and 25% was going to go towards habitat, which was a very good idea, but apparently the Senate got so much pushback and decided that if they didn't have the private land hunters and didn't have the Upper Peninsula hunters, that the pool of people that are going to be applying for these stamps or buying these stamps was lessened. So they decided that let's just go with 100% of that money to get the birds to make sure we have enough birds put out there to make it a fun hunt for people so they can go out and actually, you know, put their dogs down or just go with their buddies and walk a field and find some birds and put them up. So, yeah, you know, there is that hitch. It's another, you know, $25. It's more money out of your pocket. But I think in the big run, you know, that's pretty cheap, really, to have the opportunity to get out there and really know that you'll be able to find some birds. And we had this program in 2019. The legislature actually did something very unusual and appropriated money for a specific hunting program. It didn't come out of license fees. It didn't come out of the DNR. It came from the legislature. So we had the program in 2019, and what the folks did at the Michigan Pheasant Hunting Initiative is decided, hey, let's split this money up over 2 years instead of using it all right now. Let's split it up, give people a good chance to get a taste of this. And then that backfired when COVID came.
Right.
Let's give that money back, couldn't use it last fall, so the program kind of stalled right in the middle of it. So that was kind of a disappointment, and we won't get that money back. But they're hoping that enough people will be interested in this and purchase the stamps, that it'll turn into a bigger program, have even more areas to hunt, put more birds out there. It's certainly not going to happen overnight, but they think after this program goes for a year or two and, you know, word gets out that people are going out and finding birds and having fun, that more and more people will get involved. And be ready to participate.
Bill Parker joining us here from Michigan Outdoor News. I'm Duran Martinez. And Bill, you know, we look back to the early days of put and take when you could follow the tracks. And if you weren't the first guy there in the morning, you weren't getting anything.
Yeah.
The big fat birds that just didn't know that they were supposed to fly out of there because they've been kept so well. This is not going to be the case with this new project, which you know, the more I talk about it, the more I think about it, I'm very excited for the program, and I don't think I'd mind the $25. But, you know, you got to be the bad guy once in a while.
Sure, sure. And you know, part of that program in 2019, and I'm sure that they're going to continue to do that, they had two special R3 hunts specifically geared towards youth and people who have never hunted pheasants before, or maybe people who haven't hunted in years and wanted to get back into it. And they had two specific hunts there, had people come with their dogs and take people out. They were both very successful. They had limits, obviously, because there was, you know, limited areas that they were hunting in and limited number of people with dogs that were helping out. But both of them were sold out, if you will. They didn't have to pay to do that. But they, both of them were at maximum capacity, and everybody that went had a great time and shot some birds and had fun. And, you know, they had some target practice in the morning, some clay shooting, and then had lunch, and then people went out and hunted and had a great time. And that's going to be part of this whole program as well. They'll continue to do those R3 hunts and try to get to people that have never done it before, never experienced it before, and give them a chance to go out with a trained dog and a trained handler and see what pheasant hunting is really all about. And that's really how the whole program came to be, was the guy named Ken Dalton started it all, and that was his thing. He said, if we don't get people out pheasant hunting now, it's going to go away forever because there won't be anybody who ever participated in it fighting for it in the next generation.
Absolutely.
If they never get to do it, they're not going to worry much about it. So that kind of was his baseline, that we need to get people out and see how much fun this is and give them an opportunity to hunt some pheasants.
No, absolutely, man. I've had a great amount of opportunities to hunt places like Bear Creek in the southern part of the state. Up in Metamora one time, I was able to hunt with the former lieutenant governor when he was lieutenant governor, John Cherry. A great time. So we're going to talk more with Bill Parker from Michigan Outdoor News, all being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Make sure you check out their Wednesday night auctions at notjustguns.com. You're listening to Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Very happy to have our friends at Conquest Sense joining us here from Davison, Michigan. Another year of VS1, of Evercalm and the other great products, and more knowledge from the dear professor himself, Doug Roberts, coming up in the months to come here on the show. Thanks so much to Doug and Karen Roberts from Conquest for being a part of what we do here. Our good friend Bill Parker from Michigan Outdoor News joining us right now. He is the editor. You can find them on newsstands everywhere. My favorite outdoor magazine, I will say that. And I mean that because it's just, I don't know, it's always been very easy for me to read. It's newspaper-like. I can, you know, take it with me everywhere. And the knowledge is always there from great writers all over the place. And Bill, the editor of that, is as well, joins us here. We talked a little bit about what was going on with House Bill 4313 that was signed into law, the new $25 tax stamp. And Bill, this is a very different thing. There's a lot of people probably listening that don't remember put and take back in the 70s, early 80s, if I remember correctly. Look, the intentions were there. It was a very well-meant program, but it didn't take off too well. Pardon the pun.
No, it
didn't quite fly.
One of the really big things that was going on back then, first of all, the birds weren't as quality as they are today. A lot of them were overfed and overweight, and they'd get up and fly 20 yards and plop back down in the field. And sometimes you had to really get on them to even get them to fly. And the birds that they're using today, the ones that they use at the game farms and stuff for training and for hunting, are a lot more wily than they were back then. And, you know, they get up and fly, and they're gone now. They don't fly to the other edge of the field and go down. They usually fly out of sight, and you got to have a big expanse to go back after them again. But, yeah, and the other big problem with those was that people used to follow the trucks. You know, they'd find a schedule and figure out when the trucks were coming to release those birds, and there'd be, you know, 20 hunters waiting at the gate for the truck to come in and release the birds, and they'd go out and shoot them all before they even got acclimated. And what they're doing differently now is that the actual game bird breeders are releasing the birds, and in this program they release fresh birds every week, but they don't tell anybody when they're releasing them. They don't have a schedule that they're going to be here on Monday or Thursday or whatever, and they're not releasing any birds during hunting hours. They're doing them after hours or before hours, either early in the morning or late at night, so that we can eliminate that whole problem of people chasing the trucks. I heard just some horrible stories and saw some things like that back in those put-and-take days. And it really was. It was a big conundrum, and it didn't go off. You know, like you said, the intention was very good, but there were too many wrinkles in the plan, and it didn't go off as well as they had hoped. But from all things that we saw in 2019, when we had kind of the pilot year of this program, it seems to be working a whole lot better. You don't have people chasing the trucks. You don't have, you know, big fat birds that can't fly. And people really seem to talk. I talked to a lot of people just in the parking lots and stuff, and made some friends. And people that were participating in it were really enjoying it, really having a lot of fun. Saw a lot of groups of parents with kids, you know, getting their young ones out, showing them what it was all about. And you know, even though this is a planted bird, boy, there's still that excitement and that thrill when your dog goes on point and that bird flushes and he cackles and he takes to the air. And, you know, it's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
You've never experienced that before. You really need to get out and try it because it is a blast.
No, speaking of Bill Parker from Michigan Outdoor News, Bill, I'll be honest with you. My first taste of pheasant hunting was put and take, and I literally thought, hey, if we follow these tracks, we'll find birds.
Yeah.
But that, you know, you learn quickly that really isn't the case. But but back then, that's what I thought because that's how it was done. But I'm very happy to see things the way they're going. And, you know, initially, yes, that $25 tag, for that stamp, is a bit of a shock if you want to hunt pheasant. But if you think about the grand scheme of all things going on and how they're doing things, now that this has been explained, if you're listening or maybe you know somebody that's complaining about it, educate them. First and foremost, The way we're going to get past all of these new things is to educate ourselves, and that's what Bill's done with us here. We appreciate that. Getting that in-depth look at 4313 and the new pheasant stamp charge that's going to be coming for 2021. Now, Bill, it looks like they have pushed back the date for Tip-Up Town to the latter part of February because of the COVID-19 and the gathering thing.
Yeah.
And I'm still concerned. Even though we are outdoors and the parts per trillion are, you know, and the fresh air and the cold are to our advantage, I'm still worrying about these shows and gathering and the like. Because
yeah, it's concerning for a lot of people. And, you know, I think the hope on the minds of all the people organizing these events and the outdoor shows and everything like that is that, you know, we've got a vaccine now, and hopefully that'll make a difference. And maybe by the time these things roll around, that some of the restrictions will be eased a little bit, and the concern will be eased a little bit, and the spreading of the disease won't be as bad as it has been, and that maybe we'll be able to participate in some of these things. I'm sure there will probably be, you know, restrictions, and we'll see a lot of things different than we have, you know, been accustomed to seeing in the past, and there will probably still be restrictions, but hopefully we can at least make these things work and get things together and get people together doing all the things that we love to do.
You know, and that's just it. I mean, look, so much of our economy and the outdoors industry relies on these shows with new products, with new customers, with booking trips and things of the like. I know Showspan has moved some things back for the Ultimate Fishing Show in Detroit, which was normally in January. That's been moved back to March. We still have on track, I do believe. You'll know better than I, the other two shows.
Mm-hmm. They're still on track. The only one so far that has been postponed is the Ultimate Fishing Show, and that has been moved back to March 25th through the 28th at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi. And part of the reason for that was, too, is that Suburban Collection has been set up as an alternative care facility for COVID patients.
Mm-hmm.
So even if the restrictions were lifted and we could have that show, we weren't able to get into the facility in January. It would have been this weekend was when the original show was scheduled. So that was the biggest sticking point right off the bat, is that we didn't have the venue for that date. So we were able to reschedule it and push it back to March 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th at Suburban Collection. And everybody's just, you know, got their fingers crossed that the governor will ease some of the restrictions by then, and the disease, or the virus rather, will be hopefully on a downswing by then, and not as bad as it is right now, and we'll be able to get together. And like you said, there's a lot of people in the industry that really count on those shows, and you can get a lot of good deals. And you know, I feel bad for the guys up in Canada.
Right. Oh,
we
yeah.
We always have the Canadian outfitters there, and they, you know, they're booking trips left and right, and they can still book the trips, but if the border's not open, we can't get up there to go fishing. They're not going to be able to operate, and they've already lost a whole year. They're talking that some of these outfitters are on the verge of going out of business because they had absolutely no one coming up last year. So we're hoping that that'll ease, too, and they'll open that border, and we'll be able to go back and visit our friends to the north and get in on some of that good fishing and hunting up there.
You know, the one thing, as Bill Parker's our guest here, the one thing I am concerned about is the possibility of, you know, after getting the vaccine, that you have that card, no entry. I'm not going to be going a lot of places if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, that's a big question mark for a whole lot of people, you know. And I guess we'll just have to wait and see how that all plays out, because nothing has been etched in stone on all that stuff yet. And I don't know, but I know there's a lot of people that feel the same way. And if that's the case, it's going to be another wrinkle in the sheet for sure.
Yeah, you know, I'm not one to get political on this show, even though occasionally it calls for it. And this is a question of general health. Look, we don't need cards for flu vaccines or anything else. And
right.
You know, and I'm not getting a flu shot. I've gone plenty of years without the flu, just by staying healthy, keep my hands clean, keep things around. You know what? I will do my due diligence with a mask, with social distancing and everything else. But you know, it's my choice as to
right.
what I put in my body. And that's just basically how it's going to go for me, plain and simple, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
and my time is my time, damn it. There's nothing more I can do about it. You know,
right.
that's there. And that's all I'm going to say about it. But, Bill, As always, man, you are a wealth of knowledge and that I love talking to you on this show. We appreciate having you as a friend, a resource, and the good people at Michigan that read Michigan Outdoor News hopefully feel the same way, because you know we get to put a voice to the type, if you will.
Well, thanks a million, Duran. I sure do appreciate the kind words, and as usual, thanks for having me on the show. I always enjoy it. It's always a lot of fun.
Always, man. Always glad to have you here. It's Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street 127 of Mason. Also, Conquest Sense and the United Deer Farmers of Michigan all have links on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the podcast there as well. We'll see you all next week on the Michigan Talk Network.